Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, well, we're going to dive into our message here. So If this is your first time here or you haven't been here in a little while, this is our sixth, if I did the math right, which is debatable, but I think it's our sixth message in our Red Letter series. So everyone say Red Letter. And I just wanted to do a quick review. So we've talked about who the Word is, right? Who's the Word? All right, someone was listening. We've talked about the New Covenant Red Letters of Jesus, and that was with our guest, Bill Vanderbush. If you missed that, his message is on our podcast. We talked about the Our Father prayer, and that challenge was to pray the Our Father prayer daily. We talked about how Jesus is moving right now in us and in our nation, and that was with the Alabaster House Ministry from Washington, D.C. If you missed that, that was not a political speech. It was actually not political at all. It was heartbeat focused is what I like to call it, and we got to hear how Jesus is actually touching lives on all sides in Washington, D.C., and he's saving people right now in our government. And then last week, we got to talk about our attitude, right? Our Beatitudes. And the challenge was to find yourself in the verses of the Beatitude and receive God there. I just need a cup of water here. Say hi to someone next to you for just a second. If there's no one next to you, say hi to your Bible. Don't quote me on that. We're not that weird, don't worry. Thank you. All right, so this morning I want to talk about a subject that's really close to my heart. I kept praying and praying and praying this week about what I was supposed to talk on, and we're focused on the red letters of Jesus. But how many know every Sunday is a red letter Sunday if you're actually going to a good church, right? I hope every church is talking about the red letters. So unlike other sermon series that we've done, this is actually a pretty general one because hopefully we're going to talk about Jesus's words every Sunday. But I wanted to highlight very specific ones during this time. And we're about to move into our next sermon series in November, which is called Come to the Table. And I'm very excited about that. That's our theme for the year is coming to the table or building tables. And if you don't know what that means, we're going to all discover that in November and December here together. But before we do that, I just kept hearing the words breaking point this week. So can you just say breaking point? And believe it or not, I actually sat at my computer for like 7 hours and all I could hear was the word breaking point. And it brought me to a breaking point because normally I write my sermons a little differently and I was starting to like sweat. I'm like, where's the sermon? I'm coming to a breaking point myself. What's going on, Jesus? And I just kept hearing breaking point, breaking point. So I want to talk to you today if you are feeling like you ever have been or are currently at a breaking point. All right, so has that ever applied to you? I'm not going to ask right now because that'd be a very vulnerable hand raise, but if you've ever been at a breaking point or you are currently at one, you're in the right church this morning. And the definition of a breaking point is the moment of greatest strain at which someone or something gives way. How many know that when you're at a breaking point, what gives way may not be good? Anyone ever been there, right? You break and you're like, oop, I didn't know that was inside of me. And that's the problem with a breaking point. What's inside will come out. And sometimes it's not pretty, right? And if you're at any kind of real church, which we like to be real here, sometimes it gets a little messy because we didn't even realize we were at a breaking point on something until something spills out. And then we're like, ooh, I need to get more of Jesus in that place. I need to be more aware of what Jesus is doing there and not more aware of what other things are happening in my life, right? And so I want to talk about breaking points this morning. The red letters of Jesus are not intimidated by your breaking point this morning, though. And I feel like that's the first thing we just have to get out of the way. Have you ever felt like you're intimidating God with your problem? Maybe not, but have you ever felt intimidated by your problem? Okay, and how about Christ is in you, right? So that just made it so that you felt like God was intimidated by your problem, right? And so that's a really dangerous position to be in because then we're actually not taking our problem to God because we're actually trying to convince God how big our problem is instead of our problem, how big God is. And I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says, I have a great need for a God. And then he says, but I have a great God for my need. And I think most of us stop on the first part, and then we write songs about it. They're on the radio. Some of them are good. I'm not dissing those songs. But how about we have a great God for our need? And we have to keep that full picture perspective in order to thrive, which is what our church is committed to helping you do, right? So we're not alone in this, though. David in Psalm 27 said, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Jacob in Genesis 42 said, "Everything is going against me." Has anyone ever said that? Everything is going against me. Let's be honest. How about in your marriage or maybe in your relationships or your finances? Anyone there, right? Everything is going against me. 1 Samuel 1:15, Hannah, "But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit.'" Has anyone ever been sorrowful? A sorrowful spirit. We're not alone in this. And I think that's the other lie that we often believe when we're at a breaking point is no one has ever been at this breaking point before, right? But my favorite verse on a breaking point is Luke 22:44. Jesus, in his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. How many know that is the definition of a breaking point? So David needed to believe, Jacob needed a perspective shift, Hannah needed a legacy, and Jesus needed God's will and strength. What do you need this morning? And we're going to look at that right now. How many know that the world is also at a breaking point? And I think this is the other thing that's happening right now. Some of us in our personal lives, maybe things are going well, but if you turn the news on, or even if you just talk to somebody, or you open your front door, or maybe you just get out of bed, depends on where your boundary is there, you can enter into the breaking points that are happening all around our globe. And the issue is, and the crisis is not that there are breaking points in the world. How many know there have been breaking points going on in the world for a couple thousand years now? Anyone know that? So the crisis is not that. The crisis is if the church doesn't realize how to respond, right? The world is going to do what the world does, but the crisis comes if the church doesn't realize we are to respond to what God is doing in the earth and be the answer to the breaking points. And so I want to look at what that answer is today. The best breaking point definition I found was in Matthew 26, when Jesus said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." I don't know if you've ever been in that place where there's just so much going on, you're overwhelmed, and hopefully not to the point of death, but that can also happen, right? And so we know that since 2020, that depression's been on the rise, anxiety's been on the rise. Believe it or not, this is not a morbid sermon, so please hang with me. If you know me at all, I don't like to go doomsday, so this is not that. But how many know that there is some reality that is swirling and that is breaking right now? And so if you're stuck in that, it's very difficult to rise above in your own strength. But what I liked about the scripture about Jesus is it shows us that you can have more degrees than a thermometer. You can be the boss at your job. You can have more talent than anyone you know. You can be the person that has it all together, according to everybody else. You can even be the Son of God and have a breaking point. So this morning, I just want you to take off that shame, if you feel shame this morning, for feeling like you're at the end of your rope. The question is not if you are going to break or how or what or anything like that, but what you are going to do when you come to that breaking point. Because even Jesus came to one, but it was what he did next that changed history. And it's what you do next that can change the generations to come in your own life. And so how many have ever heard the word halt? Anyone ever heard halt, right? I don't know if it's like in psychology or I know it's in our parenting. We did a marriage course on it. The deal is this. If you are, everyone say it with me if you know, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. There we go. Everyone said that so enthusiastically. Then you are to halt, right? And so if my husband and I get going in an argument or something, we're like, are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? And if you are, maybe we put a pause on the conversation. If you know Danny Silk at all, we've done his courses here. That's kind of part of that, right? And you just pause. You're supposed to go meet the need, and then you come back, right? Believe it or not, that actually works 9 times out of 10. Mainly the hungry one. Anyone with me? Who gets hangry? Yes, thank you for your honesty in the back there, you and me. We should eat some food after this, right? Hangry. Did I eat breakfast? No, I did eat breakfast. All right. Just having a crisis there myself. So what did Jesus do in the halt scenario? And that's what we're going to look at because, you know, I've written this whole message and I realized this is going to be actually very hard to remember if I don't put it into an acronym, which I don't normally do. So everyone say halt with me. And then we're going to dive into it here. Now, during this red letter challenge, in this red letter series, every week we have a challenge, right? To say the Our Father prayer. What was the other ones? To read some red letters. Every week, to pray for our nation every day that week. So every week we have a challenge for you. Well, this week, every letter of the word halt has a different challenge. So I want you to listen with Holy Spirit and see what he highlights for you to do this week, because you have a few options if you want to do the challenge with me, all right? So number one is hungry. Everyone say hungry. Now, I don't know about you, but I am pretty convinced after being married to an Italian for a year that Jesus may have been Italian. Because the first thing he did before his suffering was... he ate. Yeah, well, I don't know if he cooked, but he did eat. I don't know how that worked, who prepped that meal, but he did eat. And so it says in Matthew 26, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. So the first thing Jesus did was eat. And, you know, that sounds kind of fun and all that, but in reality, I would have actually thought that Jesus would have been fasting at this point, right? Doesn't that kind of make sense? Like, if I knew I was about to do something huge, like astronomically huge that God called me to do, I would probably fast, not eat with my friends. But that shows me something, that Jesus was feeding his soul and his body with food and community. And he wasn't doing it in an unhealthy way. He was doing it in a godly way. And I think one of the first things to go when we're at our breaking point, for some of us, is we actually start to punish our physical bodies. And it depends on what you're doing, and I'm not going to get into this too much, but some of us maybe like to eat more, some of us like to eat less, or maybe some of us just can't sleep. Anyone have a really hard time sleeping when you're stressed, right? Whatever it is, we actually like to kind of deprive our bodies because we're so stressed. It's like the only thing we can control. Well, in this, Jesus broke the power of control. He said, no, the enemy's not going to get any victory today. I'm actually going to eat with community. It goes against what everyone thought he should be doing. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, now we have this treasure and are unstoppable as superheroes, that the surpassingness of the power may be from our hard work. Is that the right verse? Now, if you're new here, do not worry. We don't preach things that aren't the Bible, but I do like to read the wrong translation sometimes just to wake us up. No, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, now we have this treasure in earthen, frail vessels, that the surpassingness of the power of God may come from God and not from us. What does that mean? We're still in human form. Last time I checked, all of us were still humans. Anyone not human? You know, we are a unique church, but hopefully not that unique, right? And so we're all human. And what does that mean? God created us with physical needs like eating, sleeping, taking a nap, right? And so Jesus actually met his physical need before he sacrificed his body. But he also did it in community. Who has ever felt like, man, I'm not going to go hang out with those people because they don't understand what I'm going through? Anyone ever been there? Like, they don't understand me? Forget it. I'm not even going to waste my time on them. Well, here's the problem. Jesus had that best excuse. He could have gone and hung with the angels before his crucifixion. Literally. He could have just spent the whole evening with the angels. Why not? Right? He's the Son of God. Yet he chose to go spend it with people that not only didn't understand him, but one of them was actually going to kill him. Right? I've heard this joke ever since my husband became the youth pastor here. He said, if you have 11 people that love you and keep getting all the teaching wrong and one that wants to kill you, you are either Jesus or a youth pastor, right? Don't quote me on that. We do love our youth here, all right? Just putting that out there. Don't put that on Facebook. But the reality is Jesus had a lot of options in what to do when he was at his breaking point, but he chose community and he chose to feed his body, all right? So my red letter challenge out of that one is to grab coffee or a phone call with someone here and pray with them this week, Okay, so if that resonates with you, if you're like, you know what, when I'm at my breaking point, I don't treat my body well, and in fact, I isolate, then this challenge is for you, all right? Because the problem with isolation is mental health struggles and all of that go way up as soon as you isolate. So even though that's our go-to, God invites us into community. All right, number two, angry. Everyone say angry.
Angry.
All right. Anger can also be seen as controlled anxiety. And we all know that anxiety is on the uptick. And when you're at a breaking point in your life, maybe you don't, but I definitely do, tend to go more towards anxiety. Anyone else with me on that? All right. I know statistically a lot more hands probably should have been raised who deal with anxiety. Luke 22:15, Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering. Isn't that funny that Jesus said he was actually very eager? So in the face of anxiety, in the face of fear, Jesus chose to remember Passover. So everyone say remember. So the Last Supper, it wasn't that Jesus was Italian, right? We know better. Maybe he was. It would be great if he was. Maybe the Italian was Jewish. You know what? That's a conversation with someone else. But the point is that this supper was way more than food for his body. He remembered. And when we're in the face of a breaking point, the first thing to go is our memory of how good God is, our memory of how God moved last time. Anyone with me? Somehow, all of God's faithfulness gets cut short when we're at that breaking point in our lives. We don't remember how his faithfulness pulled us through last time. We don't remember maybe how his faithfulness pulled our friend through that they just told us about. It all goes away. And that's like the story of Jacob. When he said, everything is going against me in Genesis, he had forgotten that he fought in the womb and survived. He forgot that he fought Esau and won, and he forgot that he fought God and prevailed. How about that for some things to remember when everything's going against you? And so here, Jesus actually chose to remember. And remembering the power of the testimony breaks the stronghold of fear and anxiety. And he chose to remember Passover. And Passover is all about remembering freedom from slavery, right? And passing over destruction on the eve of the Exodus. And so here we have Jesus on the eve of getting rid of slavery once and for all humanity, and he is celebrating and remembering how God delivered the Israelites, so he knows God can deliver him. And someone here needs to remember that if God delivered Caleb, then God can deliver me. Anybody else following along? And that's one of the reasons why there's so much power when we come together on a Sunday. Because when we're isolated, when we're alone at our breaking points, we forget that what he did for you, he can do for me. And what he did for me in my past, he can do again. Because he's a faithful God. Amen? So the red letter challenge here is to actually remember. So when you feel anxious, when you feel angry, when you're at your breaking point, stop, halt, right? Halt. And remember. And listen, I don't know about you, but when I'm at a breaking point, I can't think straight. So I might have to get on the phone call and I might have to call my pastor Caleb here and say, hey, help me remember. Help me remember what God has done for me. And if he's like, well, I actually don't know you very well, but I can tell you what he's done for me. And so I know what he can do for you. So if that's you this morning, if you're dealing with anxiety or anger or anything like that, I want you to get on the phone this week or just open up your journal or however you do it and start writing down what God has done in your life, what God has done in your friends' lives, and remember his faithfulness. Amen? We're almost done here. Number three is lonely. Everyone say lonely. Now, you might have thought, well, why didn't you talk about community under loneliness? It's a great thing, but I actually had a different idea for how to meet loneliness here. And I want to talk about how Jesus was humble and served, because serving breaks down the walls of loneliness. How many know you can come to church every Sunday and still be lonely? Anyone ever been lonely and come to church, right? Hey, it's a real thing. But when you start serving, and I'm not just talking about like, hey, everybody sign up to volunteer. Honestly, that's not what it's about. But when you start working alongside someone, you get shoulder to shoulder, right? And you start working alongside someone, you're saying you belong and I belong. In fact, we belong together. When I come to my in-laws' house now, I help do the dishes because I know I belong, but I probably wouldn't show up at a stranger's house and start doing their dishes. Maybe I would if God told me, but it'd be a little awkward, right? But I know I belong in the family now. And so when you start serving, you're saying, I belong, you belong, we belong here together. And that's what Jesus said here in John 13. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. In other words, he knew this breaking point was not his final destination. And someone here needs to remember that if you're at a breaking point in your finances, in your relationship, in your health, this is not your final destination. That deserved an amen, but that's fine. I'm glad I can think of that and say amen to that, because otherwise you get stuck in your current circumstances. You have to keep that internal perspective. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. But Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Now, what's amazing is we're all like, okay, everyone's washing their feet. That's kind of weird. But back in that culture, in that day, according to the rabbis, Jews, even Jewish slaves, were not supposed to wash people's feet because it was so unclean. So Jesus wasn't even saying, I'm taking the position of a slave. He was saying, I'm taking the position of a Gentile right now at this point, because not even Jewish people were supposed to wash feet. And so when you're at a breaking point, I think most of us say it's time to serve myself. At least that's what the world says, right? It's kind of like a spa day, which we know the ladies like, maybe the guys don't admit it, but my husband liked it the one time we got to do it, right? So, you know, you kind of say a spa day, but one of my mentors, she said, you know, the thing with the gospel is the gospel has to work in every culture. The gospel can't just work in a spa town. The gospel has to work in a straw hut village that I've been to. And you can't preach a spa day when you're having a breaking point in a village, can you? I'm not saying you can't get a massage or something if you need one. But what I'm saying is when you're at a breaking point, there's an invitation to serve others. There's an invitation to actually break down the walls of isolation and loneliness by saying, I belong and you belong. Let's do this together. Are you following me? So there is a challenge here to pick somebody to serve every day this week. If you live in a family, this might be easy. If you live in, if you work, this might be, well, there's nothing easy about serving. How many know that? But if you're in a workplace, instead of just showing up 9 to 5, maybe actually choose to serve someone at your workplace intentionally, like Jesus washed the feet. A friend of mine and I, we had conflict a couple years ago. And we were at kind of a breaking point in our relationship. Ever been at a breaking point in a relationship with somebody? And we were both Christians, and I was like, this is ridiculous. And she was like, yeah, this is ridiculous. And so my husband and I got together with them, and we're like, we don't want anything between us. And so they were like, well, why don't we wash each other's feet? And I was like, I think we can get breakthrough without that, but if you really want to, we can. I was like, oh gosh, you know. So guess what we did? And we did it right back there, right in the back row. We came in here. It wasn't anyone from the church, just to clarify, but we came in here and we got some bins out and we prayed and we washed each other's feet. And you know what? Whatever conflict or whatever hardship we go through from that point on, I know that I never am going to wash feet again, so I'm never going back to that breaking point in our relationship. That's not exactly how that breakthrough worked, but it is in my memory. I thought, you know what? I'm not going back there. I don't need to go back there again. Jesus did that in us. We're going to keep moving forward. But you know, some people here literally need to wash the feet of your spouse, or you need to wash the feet of your child. It's called bath time. Just get a little extra intentional with it, all right? Or maybe you just need to spiritually think about it with your boss. Don't be weird, right? But I'm just saying something changes when we physically serve. And all that loneliness, walls come down when you say, I belong, you belong. I'm going to serve you, and maybe they'll serve you. And something breaks. And breaking points in relationships get healed when we serve each other. Amen? The other way that we meet loneliness, of course, is through communion. And of course, this is the famous breaking passage in Luke 22. He took the bread, gave thanks, and? Thank you. My gosh. And? broke. Okay. We're going to try that one more time. And? Broke. There we go. All right. I know it's getting cold. I know, guys. It's okay, but we got to keep ourselves alive here. And broke it and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I love what author Peter Lighthart said. It is significant that Jesus chose as the sacrament of his kingdom one of the most common of human activities. This suggests that the kingdom does not involve a cancellation of this worldly concerns. It is not another world, but rather this world transformed and transfigured. I love that. He was like, you know, Jesus actually chose to use two things that humans made. Human made the bread and human pressed the grapes into wine. He could have used an apple. Right? Jesus made the apple. How many know no human can make an apple? Unless you're at Cornell, then they do some pretty cool apples. But back then, no one was making apples. But Jesus actually chose his communion to be the ordinary. And when we're at our breaking point, we feel like all the ordinary around us, all the normal is breaking. And God says, I want to commune with you in that. I heard a pastor say once, you have to give God your natural so he can make it supernatural. When you're at a breaking point, you feel like you have nothing to give God, but God wants to make it super natural, even if your natural and normal seems like it's breaking. Often when we're so stressed and pressured, we get blinded to the Savior in our midst. And I'm just starting to wrap up here, but in Luke 24, it says, when he was at the table with them, this is with the disciples after he was resurrected, and guess what? They didn't see him. Who's at their breaking point in an area in your life and you cannot see what God is doing? Anyone, just be honest. Anybody? Thank you for your honesty. That was me 2 weeks ago. And my husband and I were at a breaking point. We could not see what God was doing. And then he answered us out of nowhere. And let me tell you, it's much better God's way. Everyone say, but God. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. Until we invite Jesus into that communion with us, into that breaking with us, we don't get our Jesus solution. We can't see it. Until we receive Jesus into our natural, into our broken normal, it can never become a supernatural solution. Are you following me there? Because the disciples, they were complaining to Jesus. Have you ever complained to Jesus? In fact, the disciples were complaining to Jesus so much about their breaking point that they missed their Jesus solution for their breaking point. And you think, man, how stupid could they be? And then you look in the mirror and you're like, well, that was me last week or this morning, right? Jesus is saying, hey, I'm glad you shared, right? Jesus didn't shut them up. Isn't that kind of him? He is so much more kind than any of us. He's like, okay, you can just keep complaining to me. And when you're ready, I'm going to break the ordinary open and show you where I am in it. So lastly, if you just would stand with me. The challenge there was to actually take communion every day this week. Do you know the command from God was not take communion once a month at your church? Thank God. We will take communion here. I actually wanted to do it this morning, but we weren't able to quite pull it together yet, so we'll do it in our normal Sunday. But listen to me. Take communion with God. Open up the scripture, read the Last Supper, and take communion with God this week. See what happens. The last one is tired. Everyone say tired. That's why I had you stand, because I didn't want you to fall asleep on this last one. Matthew 26, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. That means that Jesus actually had emotion, and someone needs to just realize that. Jesus also had emotion. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping, right? It's a scripture that everyone always talks about. If you ever do a 24-hour prayer set and you're like, don't fall asleep. Don't be one of the disciples that fell asleep, even though you're worshiping for 24 hours, right? But this happened, I think it was three times. The disciples weren't able to push through the exhaustion, but Jesus was able to actually let God pull him through any emotional exhaustion. And how many know when you're at your breaking point, there's an emotional exhaustion that can hit you? Anybody felt that before? It's very real, and if you fight it, It is not by force, it is not by strength, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord, right? And so here we see what Jesus chose to do in the place of emotional exhaustion. And he chose to surrender to God. And so I wanted to tell you today, if you're at a place of emotional exhaustion, it's not a time to fight it. It's a time to surrender to God, to invite God into that brokenness, to break the bread of communion with God and commune with God in that broken place. It's a time to serve. It's a time to say, I belong and you belong. And it's also a time to exchange with God any negativity, any exhaustion for what he has for you. Because the final verse is Hebrews 12. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing you, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. God was able, it just said that Jesus was sorrowful and troubled, and yet here it says for the joy set before him. So this is telling me that if you are feeling sorrowful or troubled this morning, if you're at a breaking point, it's a moment to get before God and to give him, to surrender what that is and to receive his joy as your strength. It might not come across as a smile or a laugh quite yet. Maybe it will. Maybe he'll just break it over you. But it might just come as an anchor to your soul, pulling you through as the pressures of life try to push you back. Amen. So right now, Jesus, we just thank you that even if we're at our breaking point this morning, and we know that if we're not at our breaking point, we know somebody that is. And God, we thank you that you already were at your breaking point and you rose again. And God, we just declare right now that our breaking point is not our final destination, but instead it's an invitation to enter into communion with you like never before. So right now, I just bless you today to feed your souls and your body with healthy communion and community and food. I bless you to remember specific testimonies to fuel your faith and to destroy the fear. I bless you to be humble and to serve others. I bless you to do communion with him. And I bless you to set your heart on the joy of eternity, which will pull you forward when the stresses of life try to push you back. I bless you to keep your heart set on eternity this morning. In your finances, in your relationships, in your health, in your workplaces, in your bodies, in your minds, your souls, and your spirit. God, we thank you for meeting us in communion. When you broke the bread, you said, the ordinary life, when it's broken, I show up there. I choose there to show you that I am your Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.